The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
It is time again for the program. Our guest in the studio today, Clark Ramsey.
Hi, Craig. How are you today?
Good. Host of the game show again this year. They didn't cancel you. You're back for another season.
Yep. The executive producer let me come back, so I was grateful for that decision.
Well, I have to talk to that executive producer.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
And humble, I hear, as well. So you've got another game show coming up. These have been very popular in Harbor Beach. Before we get into the show and all the fun and frivolity, it's always for a good cause. What is the cause this year?
Well, you might want to turn my mic up first.
Well, we have a good thing going this year. Years past, we've given it to either all the proceeds from the show go to something, whether that be the Harbor Beach Community Theater, the Harbor Beach Maritime Festival, or anything in general. This year it's going to the Maritime Festival, but also last year we kicked off the fundraising for the portable stage at the Community of Harbor Beach's building. This year we're wrapping it up, and the stage has come to fruition. We've been using it for past year, but now it's painted, we're putting the sides on, and my oh my, does it look good.
And I imagine it takes an awful lot of wrapping paper to wrap it up.
Yeah, that is a big expense. But no, it's...
It's nice to get it done, and then you can move on with your next project. And because I understand you're thinking of coming back next year.
Well, so. Yeah, I suppose. The stage actually has been a 5-year project. It was about 5 years ago that we were about an hour away from purchasing a portable stage from Southern Florida, and we were talking to the guy, and we were going to call. We got approved through the city council, and we called to buy it, and the guy had just sold it the hour before, which then kind of set us back a little bit, and we said. Through the ingenuity of Ron Rubel and the whole Harbor Beach staff, they said, you know, we could do this ourselves. And so they got an old car hauler, like you see driving down I-69.
You mean the cars on top?
Yeah. And they just welded it and torched it up to, you wouldn't believe, to be non-recognizable. And then it turned into a stage. And this thing can...
And perfect for car giveaways.
Yeah, that too. It would be able to support it. I know that much. So it's built from using the hydraulics from the old car hauler. The thing is, could survive, I'm pretty sure, a Category 4 hurricane. It automatically stabilizes itself. The wings fold out automatically. The roof unfolds automatically. Then the whole thing raises automatically. So we can set up for a concert ideally in about 10 minutes. So pretty cool. And so all the funding from the Harbor Beach Game Show series to that goes to that, as well as the Maritime Festival. And we have a record number of sponsors this year. They've been coming out in just flocks, which is fantastic. Makes my job a lot easier. And so we're going to probably set some record goals this year for money raised.
Well, terrific. Always good to have the things come right back into the hometown. And so people know when they enjoy the show that they're also helping the hometown out.
That's the thing. When I started the Harbor Beach Game Show series in 2011, we started it because a former fundraiser for the Maritime Festival was no longer in business. We had a Salute to the Superstars concert series. Basically a bunch of sound-alikes, so a guy who sounds like Neil Diamond, Roy Orbison, Johnny Cash, they'd come and do a concert, we'd raise about $1,000, $1,500 from it, and then we move on. Well, they went out of business, and so it was Al Kleinert, Pam Semp, Jackie Gaynor, that crew, said, hey, we need to have a fundraiser, and we had previous year in 2010 at the Maritime Festival done Minute to Win It underneath the tent on Sunday, and that went over very well. And so I was throwing around the idea of making that a full-fledged production some year, somewhere down the road. And we said, well, this seems like a good opportunity to start this game show idea I had. So I came up with a logo, and the rest is history. Did a photo shoot with the first batch of Clark's Cuties, and here we are 7 years later, 8 shows in, and raised over, $35,000 to $40,000, somewhere right in that range of how much money we've raised. And it's unbelievable, the public support, the community support of the event. I lose money on the show every year just because I love it so much. And to see the good and benefit that the crowd and the community benefits from it. We've been able to do a lot of good things with money, and it gives some culture to the area. We have a lot of... It brings some entertainment. It brings something to do. The restaurants are full that night because they're going before the show. They're going to the establishments after the show. It really helps out the whole area. All the bed and breakfasts are full for this weekend. The motel is getting full. So it's great. It's really become a standalone event, which we never thought would be, and it's just gone beyond and above and beyond, which is just fantastic.
Now, this year's games,
this year's games. So
let
this
the games
is
begin.
Here we go. This is we're actually debuting our ninth new game this year, which we've had 7 years, 8 shows, 9 games. That makes sense, right? So we start out with Minute to Win It, then we introduce Pyramid, then we went to Family Feud, then Card Sharks, Wheel of Fortune for a year. Wheel of Fortune went over very well. However, we had a few problems as far as just the entertainment value of it. Because when I want you, all of our listeners out there, I want you to think about when you watch Wheel of Fortune, you turn it on, you sit down on your couch or you're finishing up dinner or whatever, and you look at the puzzle and you go, hmm. And you stare at the TV for about the next 12 minutes and you don't say a word until you think of it. And then you shout the answer. Well, if you're in the crowd, you can't shout the answer. So we had to have the audience almost in silence the whole time, which kind of, I like a nice hostile crowd. And so that, and then the wheel was built too well, and it didn't stop spinning. So it took a little bit too long of a show, and so we said, all right, we're done with Wheel of Fortune. Still have the set. It looks fantastic.
You may bring it back.
We very well might. You know, we'll find a break for the thing, and you never know what the future of the game show is going to hold. Then next year we introduce Let's Make a Deal.
Classic show.
Absolutely. Let's Make a Deal went over very well. It was a almost comedy of errors, as you would expect it to be, and that went over very well.
You had to make it for the new millennium, because there were things they used to ask on, you know, like, you know your social security number for $100? Today, that would be Identity Theft Central.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. So Let's Make a Deal went over very well. We only did that 1 year, full-fledged, and that was just because of the timing. We'll more than likely bring that back in the future. But we had to fill some time because the one game went up a bit too short. We anticipated we were correct in that. And so Let's Make a Deal filled that void very nicely. Then that same year, we introduced Match Game. That was 2015. And Match Game went over. It was just a smashing success. When we started the thing, I grew up watching reruns of game shows from the 70s, 80s, 60s, wherever it would be. And Match Game was one of them. As a kid, I never understood the humor. But there was just something about the show that I loved watching. And then as I got older, I understood the humor and just, it was lightning in a bottle. And even Gene Rayburn will say that. And
well, they started off straight with
just, oh yeah, and it was
crazy.
Just,
they didn't go
it was
to
dull.
The, you know, and then they put all the sexual entendres and stuff into the questions, and then it took off.
Yeah, and I believe the first question that they changed, it was Mary made her husband's toast, and instead of putting butter, she put on blank. And that was the first question. And it just the crowd went nuts. And so they said, all right, we're on to something. And that's what it started. And that's what we... The new game show, new match game on TV right now, it's good. I enjoy it. I watch it. But it almost... What we take great pride in is towing that line. We want to keep it appropriate, but we still want to have fun. And you want to be creative in the way you say it. And that's where Match Game in the 70s was so popular, and that's what I think is a key to our success as well.
Well, it was lightning in a bottle
mm-hmm.
for its time. It was
oh,
really
without
risque,
a doubt.
But today, they'd have to pump it up so much, it wouldn't be fun anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's where, you know, the benefit of being in Harbor Beach and on a stage and kind of having higher values than the FCC allows right now on cable television. So in that realm, I think that's really where we see our success with Match Game. The crowd can respond, you know, how dumb is she? You know, there's a lot of interaction, and then they can, if they don't like an answer, they boo, and they cheer, and they yell, and so it's a lot of fun.
But these are the kind of shows that work well for you. There are
yes.
classic game shows from the past, came to mind, Concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Great game show, but there's no spontaneity, no... pizzazz in the performance of it. It was a straight game show, and I don't think it lends itself to what you want to do unless the puzzle's really good.
You're absolutely right. And that's where when we decide on what games we're going to do in the future, we take that into consideration. A lot of people have wanted me to do Jeopardy. Well, Jeopardy, if we thought Wheel of Fortune was dull, Jeopardy's going to be even worse, and we'd almost have to do a whole play on it where all the questions would be jokes. And I think it's my responsibility to kind of uphold a portion of the show. We try and be as identical as possible in that realm, but at the same time, make it fun. In Jeopardy,
well,
and so Concentration would be the same
you're
thing.
You're trying to pay homage to these shows and
yeah.
not run them down.
Precisely. Precisely. And that's, so last year we did Password Plus, which went over very well, but there was enough, I could inject enough humor into it, but the same thing, the crowd couldn't speak their mind. And so, and then I made the mistake of making all the clues way too difficult. Uh-oh. So instead of going three rounds, it went seven rounds and eight rounds, and all of a sudden we're 35 minutes over time. So that set looked great. It was actually an exact replica of the College Game Day set is what we built, and so I still utilize it in other aspects of my life. But now, so we retired Password Plus, and this year we are introducing Press Your Luck. Now, Press Your Luck is one of those bucket list items for as far as the game show is concerned, and we couldn't be more excited for it.
Yeah, well, it's got a fast screen going around. You got people shouting, whammy, 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 no whammies, all that stuff. I mean, it is an audience participation type of show as opposed to a more stoic one.
That's exactly it. And with Press Your Luck, you know, this is our ninth game that we've debuted in the Harbor Beach Game Show series this Saturday. But of all the shows we've done and all the games we've played, Press Your Luck is the most identical we have ever been to a game. The game board looks almost identical. The contestant stands look the same as what actually are in The Price is Right, because we'll be using those in the future regardless of the game. Everything about it looks identical, even to the point when they're playing the game board, the big board, we have the contestant's face overlaid on top of the game board when it's bouncing around, the sound's going, that it looks exactly like the show. And I'm so excited. We were not supposed to do Press Your Luck this year. We finished the show last year in May. About every September is when I start working on the show, developing what we think, develop some logos, feasibility studies, all that kind of thing. And we said,
you have to make sure you can pull it off.
That's exactly it. You know, before we get too far down the road and say, huh, I guess we can't pull this off, and all of a sudden it's April and I'm in trouble, you know. So we did a lot of feasibility studies, and we said, all right, well, we'll have to develop this. We'll have to develop this technology. We'll have to do this kind of software. We'll have to do this coding. We'll have to do this and this and this. But all the pieces were kind of there. We said, okay. So then I called my cousins. My cousins are mechanical and electrical engineers, as well as one guy now works in aeronautics. So they have a good...
So the whammy has a jetpack.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But so they started working on this, and instead of the 12 to 14 month anticipation of what it would take to develop the show, they did it in about 12 to 14 weeks. And so we said, well, all right, well, we were going to bring back Pyramid this year, because that went over very well. And the first few years of the show, it went well, but we could do so much better now. We have so much more capability. And so we said, all right, well, we'll bring back Pyramid. Well, then all of a sudden, Press Your Luck got fast-tracked. And we said, and I found myself working on Pyramid, but I was more excited for the 2018 show. And I said, why am I doing this? I'm not going to be putting the best show on if I do Press Your Luck next year. So we said, we scrapped Pyramid, and we went full force forward with Press Your Luck, and it's really paying off. We've updated our contestant stands. Previously, they're just giant boxes of wood, really. This year, they are sculpted, you know, every possible thing. Matt Wood, he always builds our sets, and he just blew out of the water this year. And so they are able to control the game board right from their contestant stand. They can ring in during the trivia question portion, and then all the way around it is lined with addressable LED lights. This is probably one of the most expensive portions of the show, actually, but what that allows us to do is we can control what the lights do depending on what's happening in the show. So if there's a winner, they react a certain way. If the Clark's Cuties come down, you know, it has more of an elegance blue to white fade in between. When we're doing the come on down, the contestants are coming on down, you know, it's exciting, it's exhilarating. And even to the point when they ring in, as soon as someone rings in, they react, and the red goes down the screen and comes back up, and then it shows who was actually first. And this is all in real time. There's no delay. And then it also now allows us, so when Press Your Luck started in 1983, they only had 18 patterns on the actual game board, and that's where Michael Larson won $110,000 in the course of a week on the show, because he figured out the pattern. And it's bizarre to even get to that point. Because it's easy to look back and be like, okay, since I know the pattern, I can pick it up. But he learned that himself. So they had 18 patterns. Our show has a minimum of 1,000 patterns. It's absolutely randomized. So we don't even know what's going to land on. And so to make sure that we have enough money to pay out, the winner of each game of Press Your Luck, playing two games, goes home with $200, whoever has the highest cash amount. So that kind of solved that problem as well. But so the technology behind Press Your Luck this year is really going to wow everyone, including myself, to the point when you even walk into the theater, you're going to see these things shimmering on stage, and it's just going to bring an energy to the whole thing.
Now, they had cash prizes on there, get an extra spin and stuff, but they also had prizes on there. Are you going to do that? Are they real prizes, or are you doing them tongue-in-cheek?
No, I'm glad you asked that, Craig. We are giving away real prizes on top of that. So, all together, we'll give out, in the actual games, we'll give out $1,000 in cash prizes. On top of that, there's other cash prizes through raffles and giveaways and that kind of stuff. But then on top of that, we're also giving away actual prizes. So, each game will have a certain prize that they can win. That'll be announced after they land on it, if they land on it.
And don't get a whammy afterwards.
Now, I'm being a little generous, and if they get a whammy afterward, I'm still going to allow them to keep the prize. I'm that kind of guy, Craig. You know me. You know, just a warm-hearted man.
Obviously, the prize isn't a $100 check from Clark.
You know, that would have been cheaper. Every time I go and buy the prizes, I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep it cheap. I'm going to be cost-effective, whatever. And I walk out of there spending way too much money every time. But what happens is I walk in there, I'm like, oh, this would be good. And then I look to the left, I'm like, oh, this would be better. And like, you know what, and then it spurs another idea. And then I'm in all of a sudden a different aisle, or I'm at a different website, and all of a sudden I have this pretty nice prize that I'd like to have for myself, but I give it away. So it makes the show fun. And I talk to people at the show every year, and they say every time we start announcing contestants, everyone's heart just drops. And they said that I get nervous. My heart starts beating like crazy. Never did I think that we'd be able to create an environment very similar to the actual show. You know, the looks you're seeing on the contestants' faces when they find out is exactly what it is. And that is what's so cool for me. I've always wanted to be on a game show. I've always wanted to host a game show, you know, go out to LA and be just this glamorous world. But I'm realistic in the sense that I know that doesn't happen anymore.
And that there isn't that much of a game show genre out there anymore.
No.
You got the Game Show Network that does a few little in-house productions, but the big ones are either done by Hollywood stars or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's someone who's already established in the business.
The Wink Martindales and the Chuck Woolery's there that just did that. Don't seem to be around anymore.
Yeah, and so that's where I utilize the game show as almost a selfish purpose in that, and it keeps me in Harbor Beach. So what it allows me to do is bring what I would want to do in L.A. into Harbor Beach. And I think that is just so cool because the whole community, the reason I love living in Harbor Beach and the Thumb in general is because it allows me to do some things that I should not be allowed to do. I can take over a theater for 2 straight days, rig the place however I want, run over 1,300 feet of HDMI cable however I want, and put on a show of whatever I want to do. I could not do this anywhere else in the state of Michigan. I know that for a fact. And that's what's so cool about it. And the community benefits from it. The contestants benefit from it. The audience enjoys it. It's a win-win-win. And that's where the true enjoyment of the show comes together. This week, absolutely just hellish. It's just, I don't sleep this week. I look exhausted. This is the first time shaving since Saturday, but
we appreciate that,
yeah, you know, Craig, I need to look as good as you. That's where it came down to. I said, if I want to compete with Craig Routson, I need to shave. And I polished my shoes too. But anyway, no, I didn't. So that's where this week it's stressful. There's a lot of timelines that we need to meet. There's a lot of scripts that we need to rewrite now. For instance, my mother always complains that I wait till the last minute to write the scripts. And we were honestly talking last night at the dinner table about how I should write these earlier. And I said, well, I could have written a joke back in October about James Comey and how it affected the election, but now no one would remember who James Comey is. Not even before we got up from the dinner table, I get a message on my phone saying James Comey's been fired. And I said, holy cow, that joke would have worked. And that's a prime example as to why we have to wait so until last minute to write our jokes and write our scripts, because it's timely. We want to make this as much of as a late night, Tonight Show, Saturday Night Live, game show combination as much as possible and provide the best product. And that's what it comes down to. So I don't sleep much this week. I'll sleep Sunday and Monday, but that's about it. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, good. Now, press your luck. That is 3 contestants?
3 contestants for each game. So we'll call up 6 for that and then 4 total for match games. So we'll play 2 games of each.
You play 2 games of each.
Mm-hmm. So the show will start. They'll introduce me. The lights go nuts and everything. The smoke goes off and confetti and everything. And then I'll come out.
Apartment's called. The smoke.
Well,
the last, alarms went off.
Last year the alarms did go off. We'll try and not duplicate that effort as much as possible. We literally almost burned the place down. No. But this year, we added a lot of things. So even before the show starts, we ask that everyone gets there before Chord 2. Because at 6:50, we actually have our warm-up act going up. His name's Rob Little. He's a comedian originally from Bin County, Michigan. He travels the nation. He's in Des Moines, Iowa last week. He performs at the New York Comedy Club, the Comedy Cellar. He's all over the place. He's been with Jay Leno before. And this week, he's actually on Carnival Cruise down in Miami. He's on the ship as the comedian. And so he's coming home for Mother's Day, and he said, yeah, absolutely. And so he's going to warm up the crowd for us from 6:50 to 7:02, and then the showtime. Showtime starts, and of course, it's not just a game show. We have a lot of comedy acts, because I'm such a fan of Johnny Carson, Carol Burnett, all those old shows of why I know them. I don't know. I wasn't even born even a decade before that. And so...
Please make us feel old.
I know, Craig. That's what I do best. That's what I do best. They really boost your confidence. And so the show will start, and then rumor has it that Karnak the Magnificent is going to grace us with his presence yet again this year. So Karnak will be there, and he'll, through divine intervention, be able to ascertain the answer without ever seeing the question, since the envelopes have been hermetically sealed since noon today.
And kept in a jar.
And kept in a jar on Funkin' Wagnall's porch. Yes. Which I thought this year, I thought it'd be ironic that if we said it kept him on a... in a mayonnaise jar under the porch of PricewaterhouseCoopers' house. But, you know, the Oscars worked so well for them, I decided not to. So then Karnak comes out, he does his thing, and then we actually start Press Your Luck. We call down three contestants from the crowd. The Price is Right, Come On Down, music goes. It's exciting and exhilarating. And then the show starts, and we ask some trivia questions. There's four trivia questions, and that's how you earn your spins. So the first person to ring in to answer correctly gets four spins, and then the other two contestants get a chance to answer, and if they answer correctly, they get two spins each. And that goes on four questions, and then we go to the first round of the board. Whoever has the least amount of spins goes first, and we go through it and try and earn money and avoid the whammies. Speaking of whammies,
And if you raise quite a bit of cash or whatever, or points on what's being done, you can pass.
You can pass the remainder of spins,
so
yes.
Try and get somebody to zonk out or whammy out.
Yeah, correct. Now, it's Mother's Day weekend, so we're going to try our best and hope that contestants don't get drawn at random where it's a mother and a daughter, because that'd just be awkward if you had to pass all of your spins to your mother on Mother's Day weekend.
Now, do you do like they do when you go to the Price is Right or something like that, where you interview them in line to try and find people who aren't going to be so frightened they're just standing up on stage sweating and... you know what I mean?
I know exactly what
you're
saying.
You look for some people who are a bit outgoing. I realize it's a small community and everybody knows everybody and you don't want favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that the person who comes up, A, is enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And is not freaking out so much they can't do the game.
Yeah. It's a combination. So when you walk in the door, you'll fill out a survey. And it basically says, you know, your name, where you're from, is this your first time you've been at the show? What's your favorite? You know, it's kind of a survey for future events as well. And then the big question, do you want to be a contestant? And you say yes or no, and then that automatically gets scanned in real before the show starts, and then that goes in, all the yeses go into an algorithm that we derive from CBS Television City. I have a cousin who married a guy whose uncle works in
firsthand.
Yeah, works in CBS Television City. He kind of hooked us up a little bit with that. And so we throw it into this algorithm and it spits out 10 names for us. So there's no favoritism, but it kind of guarantees that the people who want to be on there are up there. And so kind of there's a fair balance there you need to have. You need to have a good show, but you also need to have good contestants. So luckily CBS helped us out in that realm, that we have that technology and capabilities of doing that before even the show starts.
Because, again, it all is a chemistry between you, the contestant, and the celebrity players.
Yeah.
And it all has to kind of work if it's going to fly right, or it can just stall.
And one of the benefits of how the show is built.
And they have to be able to take a joke.
That's just it.
That's the other part of it is, you know, it's all tongue-in-cheek, and, you know, you may be the brunt of it one time and somebody else the next.
Absolutely. And that's how the show is built, kind of on a David Letterman Tonight or Late Show style, where if things start bombing, we're going to acknowledge that it's bombing, and, you know, we're going to start ripping on whatever's happening. And so
sometimes his best shows were when he was bombing.
That's exactly it.
His face as he would get himself out of it.
It
was some of the best shows ever.
And that's why Let's Make a Deal was such a hit, is because it was going so terribly. that wrong prizes were out there. Sometimes prizes weren't even out there.
Doors would open prematurely.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what made it so funny. And that's where we try and, obviously, we don't want those things to happen. Mm-hmm. But if they do, we're ready to handle them. And that's where the show gets really fun. And so whether those contestants are outgoing or not, we're going to have fun with them. And they're going to have fun, too. So we'll bring up three for the first game of Press Your Luck, and then we go to a commercial break, which is Art Fern with your Tea Time Movie. Of course, the old Johnny Carson skit for years, and so we
basically... who's the Tea Time lady?
The matinee lady is Kayla O'Neill. I graduated with her from high school. She's been at Clark's Cutie from the get-go, and she has agreed once again to be the matinee lady for us on Tea Time, so...
because it takes a lot of intelligence to play that dumb.
Yes, it does.
Because there's timing involved in making it work.
Precisely. And so Kayla does a great job with that. My brother Ross, Dr. Ross Ramsey, takes off his stethoscope for a bit and plays Art Fern. And so what we do, kind of we pay homage to our sponsors of the show, and we work all of our sponsors into Tea Time and basically roast them, which seems like an odd concept to help benefit the sponsors of the show. We kind of make fun of them at the same time. But it goes over very well, and everyone remembers it. And
well, there's mean fun, and then there's you know,
yeah,
ribbing fun.
Exactly. That's what we shoot
you
for.
You can go too far with some stuff, and then it hurts. But most people can take a little bit of a joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And that's what we always keep in mind, especially since the show finishes, and I need to live with these people in the community for the rest of my life anyway. So I better not disrespect them. So we do these tea times, and it's a lot of fun. There's some recurring jokes always, you know, the old, until you get to the fork in the road, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then we come
and
then back.
She stands there, no spooning?
Come on now, Craig. FCC is going to be calling any second now. And then so we do play a second game of Press Your Luck, and then we get go to intermission. Now, having said that, we have a man on staff known as Gene the Dancing Machine. He made his debut last year. And he was a crowd favorite. Of all the things I prepped and planned and developed, everyone remembers Gene the Dancing Machine, which was just a split-second decision, said, yeah, let's do it. And so he'll...
And for people who don't know, he was on the Gong Show.
He was on the Gong Show.
And he would do some of these bits in between that would kind of tide things over till you got new contestants or anything else going on.
Yeah, so that's where he comes into play, and he'll come out and kind of almost bust into the show unexpectedly. Sometimes they don't even let me know when he's going to happen, so that makes it fun as well. And so then we go to intermission. And now we have a raffle. We give away $2 a ticket. We only sell 1,000 tickets, and the winner goes home with $300. And so then that helps benefit the bottom line of the show and proceeds there. And then we come back, and we reset the stage, and all of a sudden it's Match Game. Match Game 77 this year. And so then we introduce our panel of six, and we start with the old-fashioned fill-in-the-blank questions. You know, Dumb Dora was so dumb, and the whole crowd yells, "How dumb was she?" And then move on from there. And then we have another commercial break, another tea time, and then as we're leaving, we give everyone a prize to walk out the door. At least the first 400 through the door are going to go home with a prize. And that's worth about $2 each on a $10 ticket. And then the show's over in about 2 hours, 5 minutes, 2 hours, 10 minutes, somewhere in there, and you're on the way and laughing the whole way home, hopefully.
How far do you go to try and make this authentic? I mean, I know when you were doing the Match Game originally, you were trying to find that ugly carpet that they used back then. Do you get those skinny little microphones that they used to have all the time on those old shows that had the little ball on the top and it looked like a... Fairy's magic wand, almost.
Yes. So we take that very... I take great responsibility and great effort goes into that. It's probably one of the most expensive portions of the show is trying to duplicate things from the 70s. They went away in the 70s for a reason.
And the technology isn't holding up for today's use.
No.
They're either in a museum or somebody's got them in their closet.
And so I tracked down the model number of Gene Rayburn's actual microphone. Now, his microphone was actually extendable.
Telescopic, yeah.
Telescopic, which is just from a mechanical and engineering perspective, that would be a nightmare to engineer. Why would you want something that moves with a microphone? You have wires
but
and...
But you have people who are 6 feet tall and people who are 4 feet tall.
Well, yeah, but Gene Rayburn's the only one using the mic.
But they're not building custom mics for him. They went to a company.
I was able to track down those microphones, and they started on eBay right around $900.
Oh, boy.
So I said, you know what? I enjoy the show, but I also like paying my bills. So we decided, So we have updated technology and equipment in that sense. So we use, it's actually an 18-inch stick gooseneck microphone. So it's even a bit large for me, so I kind of almost have to hold it in the middle. But to the point where how Gene sits on the set in certain spots or how he holds the microphone, I try and duplicate as much as possible. I remember one of the big things when we did Card Sharks, I had to practice how he flipped the cards. You know, there's a certain way he flipped the cards to get that true sense in it. And I think I had carpal tunnel by the end of the show's run.
Because they were actually large cards.
They weren't
electronic or anything.
No.
This was the days before there was a lot of the fancy background gizmos. This was an actual card deck, and you had to flip something that was like the size of half of a carton eggs.
Yeah, so we have our cards, and we had to have them custom made because you can't find cards that size. So our cards are actually 24 inches tall, and they're made out of a PVC material, so they're quite heavy.
So they can't rot or anything.
They're good to go, but they're very heavy. And so, you know, to flip the cards, you know, we take very detailed studies of how to duplicate those things. And like you said, the orange carpeted stairs are very unnecessary for the show. The only time they're used is when I get introduced at the beginning of Match Game. I walk down the stairs and that's it. But it adds so much to it. So Barclay Furniture in Harbor Beach was lucky. It was donated the carpet to us, which was just awesome. And
I don't think there were people lined up the door for it.
The problem is we had to custom order it because, you know, they don't really sell that much. So we had to custom order it in, and it's just really cool. So we have the stairs, you know, we have the set, which is very close and similar to the actual set, and especially with Press Your Luck, especially. And so we take great detail into that stuff, and I think it really pays off. The whole show is a combination of really small details that I think is funny because I just kind of find humor in everything in life. And so you combine all those things, and all of a sudden you have this very one-of-a-kind, unique experience. I'm not saying it's good, but everyone seems to leave laughing, and they come back every year. I don't know why. But we have about an 80% retention rate as far as contestants and audience members come back. And you think about between family weddings and everything else going on, and your schedules aren't always going to line up. So 80% is unheard of as far as retaining your audience, which is great. And that's why we're seeing such a boost in the crowds. And me working in Pigeon and being involved in Bad Axe and Elkton and all over the place, it's just the crowds we're seeing come from every direction. And so it's great.
And you don't oversell them. I mean, you aren't doing one in the spring, one in the fall, that type of thing. You do it once and you do it right.
Yeah, and that's out of necessity as well, because I have a day job and I'd like to sleep at some point.
No.
I don't think I can afford to do two shows, Craig. So we only do it once a year. We hit our sponsors up once a year, and that's it. And we try and limit as number of sponsors, because I just don't want to... I'll gladly take your money, but we want to make it worthwhile for the sponsors, and your name is plastered all over the place, and we tie it in as much as possible, and it works well. And so... It takes a lot. It takes an army to do this show as well. 38 people are on staff when all said and done, between the lobby staff, which is about 5, and then the remainder, 30 to 33 of them, are backstage working for me, you know, between the panel and backstage. The wings get turned into a mobile control room. We have 18 screens back there, and Continental Home Center helps us out with that a little bit to rent some screens for free. And so we have 6 computer inputs. Those go into video switchers and matrices, and we pump those signals out to all over the stage and into the projectors. And so it's always fun for the reserve seat people to get their backstage tour, and they walk in kind of expecting the old community house with the graffitied walls, and, you know, I love that feel of that place. But and then all of a sudden they walk into the control room, and they go, whoa, they're not expecting it, because that should not be in the wing of the community house in Harbor Beach. It should be in a truck outside of Spartan Stadium or somewhere, you know. And that is extremely helpful to benefit the show, but also the people in there. We have all the VTRs working. We have our technical director. We have our judges. And so it takes a lot of moving parts to make this thing work, and I'm forever grateful for the crew that comes out and works for me for free. They gave up an entire weekend for me, because we'll have a pre-production meeting Friday. We'll rig all day Friday. We'll have a pre-production meeting Friday night, then rehearsal Saturday at 10 a.m. We'll wrap up about 1 p.m. We'll have a few hours off, basically, to fix anything that went wrong or we didn't do yet. And then doors open at 6, and the rest is history. So it's a whirlwind. It's my favorite day of the year, but I think it's worth it.
Now, is eBay your best friend when it comes to wardrobe?
Yes.
Because there's not much of anything reminiscent of the 70s in clothing stores today.
Not quite. And you can't even go to the thrift stores or anything because you know you're going to find that you got to find that diamond in the rough. And especially when you're a 48 long suit size,
yeah, you're a large person tall.
Oh, thanks a lot, Craig. I'm trying to lose weight.
I mean, you've got to find something that doesn't look like you tried to fit into some kid's pajamas.
Yeah.
You've got to have something that works with you, too, and because you got to be able to move.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a suit where I can't raise my arms because
well, that
I'll rip everything out.
That happened 2 years ago. I bought a tuxedo. It was a cream ivory tuxedo, three-piece tuxedo from the 70s. Had the big old lapels and the stripes and the, you know. And so I bought it, and I knew that they ran small, so I got a 50 long. This thing comes in, and I'm quite certain, unbeknownst to me, I bought Wilt Chamberlain's suit. The jacket was about a 42 at most, but the pants could have fit. I could have made a pair of pants out of them, Craig, and I could have given you a pair of pants out of these things. So my Aunt Jeanette, she's my official seamstress. She does an awesome job, especially on moment's notice. She'll go through, and she'll just rip it out. And we actually took the material from the pants, we put it into the coat, we had to make the sleeves bigger, we had to do everything. And so that was the biggest overhaul of a tuxedo we had to do. Last year, I found one that fit. This year, I found a tuxedo on Overstock.com, believe it or not. And it had a vintage feel to it. It's a blue, shiny paisley jacket, tuxedo jacket with black pants. And so that'll fit the mold of Presser Yorks since we're in the 80s there. And then for Match Game, I'm pretty excited about this. I've always wanted to do this. So in the past, I've always worn tuxedos for Gene Rayburn's sake. Now, every so often, Gene Rayburn, though, would wear a leisure suit. And that's what the look we're going with this year. I was able to find on eBay the old Johnny Carson clothing line. And I found a leisure suit, cream in color, that is a 48 long Johnny Carson collection leisure suit. The thing is glorious.
Full-blown polyester?
Oh, yeah. You know, the key to being on stage under the lights is not having any breathable material.
No. You want it to run out your ankles.
Mm-hmm. So, I doubled down on that then with the 100% polyester suit, leisure suit, and then I went out and bought a turtleneck to go along with the leisure suit.
That was the fashion at the
exactly,
time.
Exactly. So, I'm pretty excited. Got some new old shoes as well, and they got nice, like, 2-inch heels since I'm not tall enough, apparently. And then we rocked and rolled, and I'm pretty excited about my wardrobe this year. And so we got a lot of good surprises coming up in this year's show, and give me a little heads up of what to expect when it comes to showtime there. So we're pretty excited.
Well, good. And it's all those little details that make it, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
You can have the fanciest sets, and if you go out there looking like a guy today, it just wouldn't fit the flavor.
Yeah, and even down to the point where our announcer for the show for his third year now is Max in the Morning. And love Max. I've known him since I've started here. I started working here, Craig, 10 years ago this month.
There you go.
I was a summer intern 10 years ago here. How is that possible? I don't know. But so we got Max in as an announcer. And as good as Max is in the morning, he's even better at the night. Max in the evening. I'm telling you, that's where it's at. And he was built for game shows. And he does a spectacular job. I write the scripts with his voice in mind, and he just takes it to a whole nother level. And so it feels like you're listening to Johnny Olsen, you know, of a Mark Goodson television production. And so that's our goal, is to entertain you from the time you get out of your car to the time you're back in your car.
Well, I wish you good luck. I hope you get a lot of extra people in there for fundraising. You fill the place pretty much every year anyway.
Yeah, the place seats 485 per the fire marshal. And we will always have,
exactly.
I mean, you've never hear of places burning or anything. So we will always have seats for everyone. I can guarantee that. In the future, we're actually, depending on the crowd goes this year, we're actually talking about adding a second show next year because the crowds have just been surging lately. But last year we had right around 420, 430 people. And we're expecting about the same, if not a little more. So it'll be a full house. And there's nothing better than a full house. Just that roar that comes.
Anyway.
So we're looking forward to it. So the tickets are $10 a piece, at the door only. We had a limited number of premium reserve seating, which sold out in record time this year. And so we will have those available at the door. Gates open at 6 p.m., shows at 7. If you do want to guarantee a seat, a decent seat, you might want to get there closer to 6 o'clock. The line starts about 5 o'clock, actually, and I like seeing that. It's just everyone's antsy to even get into the theater because they're not sure where they're going to sit, and it just the energy builds from there. And so we have a lot of surprises this year. Tickets are $10 a piece. All the proceeds benefit the community. I take a loss on the show. Crew of 38. Just an awesome experience. I invite everyone out to come out because it's my, I take great pride in what I do. And this is one of what I feel is kind of my gem. And this is a group effort, it's a team effort. I couldn't do it myself. And it's just so much fun to sit back and watch over 400 people enjoy it and have a great night out locally in Harbor Beach. So no drive is too far. Sebring is not too far from Harbor Beach. It's just 10 degrees away. And just come on up. We have people come from Port Huron. I have supposedly people coming from Kalamazoo, Detroit, Plymouth, all over the place. People are coming up this year. So we're pretty excited.
Now, I understand, and before we go, you've kind of got an idea for next year.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about it.
Yeah, well,
a little tease here.
I can let that cat out of the bag a little bit. So since we had so much success here and we're going to be retiring Match Game after this year just because we never want the show to grow, musty and old and just stale. So we're retiring Match Game, and there's such a good camaraderie between the 6 panel members. We're going to take them, and we're going to add 3 more. Now, Craig, what game show requires a panel of 9 people? Hollywood Squares, of course. Yeah. So we, if all goes well and we're on track, we're going to be debuting Hollywood Squares next year with the game show. So we're pretty excited about that one. That's going to be quite the spectacle. Just when that curtain raises, there's going to be a set there that's going to take up the whole stinking stage.
And except for the 2 little spots where you and the contestants.
Correct, of course. And so it's going to be pretty cool. We're looking forward to it. Bright future. And then, of course, we're hoping for our 10-year anniversary, which will be 2020. Price is Right. The sky's the limit. So we're starting to build technology already for that, and we're on track.
Thanks for being with us. Hope you get a good turnout. Again, it is this Saturday.
Saturday, May 13th at 7 p.m.
Yep. You can get a good seat and enjoy the activities. There's an admission, but you get some of it back with prizes and all the good stuff.
The tickets are extremely undervalued, that's for sure. But thanks, Craig, for having me on What Do You Think? Now I know what you think, and now you know what I think.
Wow.
And here's what I know.
There you go. Thanks, Clark.
Hey, thanks, Craig, for having me.
Our guest today on the program, Clark Ramsey, host of the Beach Game Show, coming up this Saturday evening. You want to get out there and get there early, about 6 o'clock, so you get a good seat and see all the activities they got going on. They've got Press Your Luck, along with Match Game 77.
And I'm Al Hansen. You're going to have a great time, and I guarantee it.
Guaranteed. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Keep it here at WLEW.